Hey everyone, it's Daryl Kristen with AfterBuzz TV. Is your computer running slow? Well, mycleanpc.com can clean it up and speed it up today. Now you might be asking yourself, how did my computer get this way? It's so frustrating sometimes, right? Well, opening infected email attachments, downloading music and games can slow down your computer. Over time, running these programs can cause junk files, internet clutter, processor and hard drive errors to build up on your computer. MyCleanPC can help. First, go to mycleanpc.com and in minutes, you can get a free computer diagnosis and find out what's slowing down your computer. Then simply activate MyCleanPC software to clean out the junk, internet clutter, and even remove viruses, and MyCleanPC is guaranteed to increase the speed of your computer. With MyCleanPC, there are two easy steps to speed up your computer. First, go to mycleanpc.com and get a free computer diagnosis. Then simply activate MyCleanPC software to optimize your computer performance. Go to mycleanpc.com today and find out what's slowing down your computer. That's mycleanpc.com.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Game of Thrones After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Game of Thrones After Show.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I feel pretty chilly after that episode. Like, watching a whole episode in the wall, I was cold the whole time. It just transferred over.
I got my jacket on.
Yeah, exactly.
Leather jacket.
So, joining us today, in the amazing leather jacket, Kyle Maddox.
Hey guys, how's it going?
And as always, the lovely Kristen Snyder.
Thanks, Dave. Hi, guys.
And next to me, also lovely, Sarah Stredden.
Yes, I got a lovely too.
Yeah, because I can't come up with more adjectives. I'm very nondescriptive. And my name is Dave Klein, and we have a very special guest with us today. You may know her as a host of a little website, IGN, just one of those small ones there. Naomi Kyle.
Hey, guys.
Yay!
Game of Thrones, second to last episode. I'm excited.
Yes. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, so Naomi, you are a huge, huge Game of Thrones fan, so thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure. The more Game of Thrones, the better.
I have a question. Did you start as a book reader or a TV watcher?
TV watcher.
Yeah. Watcher on the wall.
Watcher on the wall.
You can join my team then.
Yeah. Watching.
So what a morbid episode to come in on.
Yeah.
So speaking of which, let's jump into it. So we start at the north and we end at the north. It's the whole episode. We've got Sam and John watching over the side of the wall, and Sam just digging in, wanting to know about what it was like to be with a woman. What was it like? Tell me, Kyle. What was it like?
I don't
Describe
know. I'm not a poet.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, I love poetry. Too bad. Because I really liked Jon Snow, so now it's like,
Really? He lost points.
But I thought it
and
was
Oberyn's
good.
And Oberyn's kind of dead now, so you don't have him
what
anymore.
What are you doing for your love interest?
No, I'm just kidding. Jon, he did step up. He was like, it's like being wrapped up in another person, and you become more than you for a moment. I liked it. He said he wasn't a poet, but it was like, it was just how he was going to end, so he was still like the cool guy. But it was actually described well.
It felt real. It felt, like, relatable. You know?
He took it there. I mean, it does feel like you're wrapped up in another person when you're wrapped up in another person. That's usually...
It's a good picture, you know, what's happening a little bit.
But I like the you become more than you part, because that was throughout this entire episode.
Yeah.
We got a lot with Sam. And it was just like, I feel like the entire episode, other than all the fighting, was focused on love.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, and speaking on that, then we immediately get Maester Aemon talking with Sam as Sam's looking over the books, and Maester Aemon immediately recognizes what Sam's really pining over and looking over is what could have possibly happened to his love, Gilly.
I really liked that moment.
It was beautiful.
I felt it, what he was saying.
I know. And I almost teared up just a little bit.
When he had that line about how he could see her right in front of him and how she was more real than he was.
I know. That was the line that was like,
I think, were we not all, like, imagining the someone there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I was.
Yeah. Maybe because I was watching it before you guys, and I was alone, and I was like, he's going to have a heart attack. He's going to have a heart attack before the battle.
So we're all
that would have killed it for me. I would have bawled.
I was literally just flat out. I was like, and then he's going to die.
Oh, no. So we're having all these, like, lovey-dovey thoughts, and Sarah here is like, ha-ha-ha, Death Star is going to start now.
Waiting for impending doom.
And he's like, love is the death of duty and all that stuff. And I was like, and now you're talking about love. And I was like, this isn't going to end well. That's what goes through my mind.
It's nice that love was on the tip of everyone's tongue right before death. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think that's, I mean, yeah, I think that's really how, what's important for everyone. It's when you're facing death, you really think about what's really important to you at the end. And it always ends up being that special someone who's going to be the first person you think about when there's something goes wrong.
Impending doom.
But we get right after this, Sam walking outside, and then we have Gilly at the gate, and Sam finally steps up and mans up. And I was kind of thinking of what you were talking about, Kristen, with love being the theme of this episode, that we've seen a lot of love tearing and being an issue for people, especially Cersei talking about it, where love tears people down as weakness, according to her, and that's a problem to have love. But for someone like Sam, and this is something I've argued about in the past, I think love can really help strengthen someone, especially if someone you care about. And we see this with Sam. It's really made him not a coward anymore. He stands up.
He found his courage.
F-bomb.
Yeah. Yeah, he dropped an F-bomb. That's right. He yells at the guy. Like, what? That's not Sam.
I mean, his vocab is so vast because of all the reading he does, so he doesn't normally need those words.
Right.
But sometimes you have to throw them out there.
But for right love. Now... I mean, right now, that's the only way people, I guess, can tell how serious he is, if he uses those words. But it's the love is the death of duty, and he did make... was it Pip? Open the gate?
Yeah, Pip.
Mm. Yeah.
Which we get a lot of in this episode. Pip hadn't really been seen too much before, and we finally get him for some reason. I don't know why they brought him up more.
I wonder why.
So that's when the horns blow for them. But on the wildling flip side, we get Tormund Giantsbane and Ygritte preparing, as well as Ygritte is notching arrows, and Tormund's, as always, talking about his tales of battles past and love's past and love's past. Yeah, love, but he always has great
sexual
tales.
Encounter.
But yeah,
it's
battle of love with a bear.
Yes. A bear. Yeah, I was like, what is he talking about?
The bear and the maiden fair.
Thank you.
He was
really
proud
bored.
Of that.
Bear and the maiden fair.
Yeah, bear and the
maiden
fair.
Started the song.
Yeah, it's right there. Tormund started this legend. So yeah, she's
so
not having any of it.
Around a little.
But it was nice that they were also talking about love.
Yeah,
like the beginning of all these scenes.
Except for the Thens.
Except for the fact that it was, like, love, but
they
basically,
love,
like, violent rape.
They love differently. They just
like
love differently.
Well, I mean, you can tell that Ygritte is, she's anxious about the battle. She's incredibly anxious, but you can tell that she really is pining about what she might have to do with Jon, and she doesn't really want to.
No, she's fighting it all the way through. I mean, she's talking about killing those guys and, you know, not letting up, and I feel like she just is... trying to so hard to fight the feelings that she has and how she doesn't want to face this at all. I think she's fearing it throughout. You can kind of see it.
And she was kind of defending Jon by saying, any of you others try to kill him, I'll put an arrow through
your
head. So she was defending him.
She wanted control of whether or not he was going to live
or die. Oh, yeah. She didn't want anyone else killing him.
Yeah, I kind of took it as like her being like trying to step up and be like, none of you can take him because he's mine to kill. And that's how bold I am and strong. And
do you think they saw through that? I feel like
we saw
it.
Through it. I know they kind of did.
Yeah.
And she was just like, Jon Snow is mine. And I was like, I feel like you've said this before, but in a different way.
Yeah.
Like, I think you still love him. I think you're lying to yourself and to everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wasn't talking about being wrapped up in another and... No. That.
No.
In a different way.
Yeah, putting an arrow through you, it's close.
Sure.
Yeah. So then the horn has blown now for everyone. So we get the preparations at the wall being taken apart, where they're gathering up barrels to drop over the side. Sir Alistair's watching over, and he actually has a moment there where he admits that he was wrong to Jon. That's something that's very much not an Alistair moment. He would never admit that he's wrong, and he actually does here as they're looking over at hundreds of thousands, or 100,000.
100,000, yeah.
Specifically. 100,000 troops.
Yeah.
They counted it, one by one.
And he also says he wouldn't have mind if the redhead finished him off.
Yeah, but
that was brutal. Yeah. But I mean, he was just making his point that like after this, we're back to old ways, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I'm like still for now. Hate you. For now, we got to work together.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah. It was cool, and you know, it's good that he gave him that power in a way. And
that's a good point.
Yeah,
I actually like seeing Alistair step up, because up until this point, he'd just been we really get John's side of view every time we see him. He's like, oh, he's the horrible guy who trains everyone, who's terrible at training, and he's a jerk and he's an asshole. But here he really does step up and take the leadership role. He's a good leader. He actually knows how to encourage the troops.
Yeah, and he gave him props for that idea about covering the tunnel, or what did he say, to block off the tunnel.
Yep.
Give him props for that.
Yeah, he was a good leader, just like Janice.
Yeah, Janice is a really good leader.
he's much better than that. I mean, he is a knight, and there aren't that many knights, I believe, at the Wall, because he is Sir Alistair Thorne, and so he does have experience, and he's been down that road a little bit. I'm sure he's been in fights where a lot of the people there probably haven't been, and so it was nice to kind of see him step up like that.
No, I thought you were talking about it's Janice.
No, no, not Janice. No, Alistair.
I was just joking, obviously.
No, I know. I thought Cal was talking about Janice. That's why I was confused.
Oh yeah, Janice. When he stepped up, it was just blew my mind.
Thank goodness Janice is taking charge.
Well, he basically took the role of a woman. Because he just ran and hid with the baby and the gilly.
I feel like there's a lot of women in this show who would not agree with that assessment.
You know what I mean.
I like Naomi's expression.
Like, he ran.
Yeah, he totally just went away.
As if he had a child to protect. But that's himself.
He's the baby that needs help.
Yeah.
But speaking of child
doesn't want
to
get hurt. Yeah, child to protect.
Gilly.
I know!
Gilly is protecting her child. So Sam takes Gilly to protect her after saying the words that he'll never leave her, and now he's leaving her. Sam, to be a man! This is what men do, Gilly. I'm off to be a man.
Yeah. Well, he had a point when he was like, he can't always be in the same room together forever. Like, that's beside me. She wins.
No. I think a lot of men need to explain that to their girlfriend.
Whoa. Well, I mean,
brought it back to reality.
Yeah,
bring it back. I mean, gotta relate it to it. You know?
I don't know. I can kind of see where she would be a little naive in that word, just because she lived with Craster and their house was one room.
Yeah,
she probably was never out of the room of her.
You know, let's just throw out that apparently Janice pulled it off. He made it work.
Janice.
He did exactly what she wanted Sam to do. Exactly what she wanted Sam to do.
That was ridiculous, because even when they didn't know it was Sam charging through the door, like, Janice still sat there hidden in the corner, and Gilly was the one.
She was
the
one defending
the,
the beef leg or whatever that was.
Would you expect anything less from, like, Gilly, though? I mean, the last time when she was hiding from the wildlings, I was surprised, because she's always been that girl who's out there and, like, fighting and kind of rash and abrasive, and in this episode, we saw Sam kind of gain a little bit of that, and I think from her. Like, we saw him step into into bravery, into courage. He gained a lot more points with me. I've not been the biggest Sam fan. And this episode, his look on battle and his perspective on what was going to happen to all of them really drove the episode for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With his character build.
He was there the whole way through, and he made some great choices, and I feel like he's always been hiding that part of him, and then just through his love for Gilly and everything, just it brought it out in him, and he's like this whole new guy. He's the good guy that he was, but stronger.
Absolutely.
You know? And I think they need that.
Yeah, I think so too.
Sam needs to be that way for Gilly, for the baby.
Yeah.
I think it's like his confidence too, obviously, after killing the White Walker, and also he even admits in this episode, I'm not nothing anymore. So. Yeah. I think having the confidence now to be that man who he didn't feel like he was before, but really becoming himself.
Yeah, and then he has that moment where he goes to talk with Pip and cheer Pip up, who Pip can't handle, and he's like, and has that exact speech that you were just mentioning, and trying to cheer up Pip and be like, you know, you just gotta do it,
shaking.
Just gotta do it, and you know, you become everything, all that matters in that moment is just that survival instinct, really.
And he's tapped into that now. Sam's good.
He do.
He's gonna be the new Jon Snow now that Jon's gone.
He's gonna have.
We haven't gotten there yet.
I was like, wait, Jon's gone? What did I fall asleep at the end of this episode?
As soon as Jon walked out the door, he got shot by an arrow.
He just said that. I was like,
oh. Oh, did I spoil that for everyone?
Thanks, George.
So Grit's now on the other side. Grit's watching, and she's watching them, sees the fat man and Pip and the smaller guys. So she's taking scopes as they're about ready to ride out. We see the giants riding mammoths now from the other side. So yes. Remember, so yeah, we've got two sides attacking. The side that the Grit's on with Torment is from the south wall, which is not nearly as big as we get the giant sweeping pan camera of how the wall is laid out. And yeah, those giants on the mammoths. Glad to see those.
Ooh, there was a lot of beautiful green screen work in this episode.
Yeah.
There was a lot of good looking stuff. All the shots of the wall, everything.
Great CGI.
Yeah, it was really good.
Imagine
yeah.
some bigatures. I learned about those in Lord of the Rings special edition. Oh. I'm sure they use bigatures.
But it definitely was an expensive episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although hopefully not as expensive as the finale, which I want it to be way more like
yes.
epic.
I'm thinking the money went on this one.
That's you think?
I really hope not.
Let's hope well, not.
I think the money,
they did that last season. I don't want that.
I think the money went to this episode, but that doesn't mean that 10th episode won't be epic. I mean, keep in mind, last mm-hmm. week's episode, the 8th episode was really epic, and that was basically yeah. one battle.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So you don't need a giant budget to have an epic episode.
Yeah. That's a really good point, because they sort of have established all the scenery for us in this episode, which is why they needed all the money. And so next episode can be more epic, because it's really those character moments that are epic.
Yeah,
and
back
those,
to the drama of all the
yeah,
characters.
And that takes place in a much smaller quarter, but mm-hmm. now we've seen the vast landscape and we're there mentally.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I kind of agree, this wasn't my favorite episode because just action, 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 no character mm-hmm. development, which is part of what yeah. Game of Thrones is, but
save Sam.
Right, yeah. save yeah. Sam. Not yeah, Sam. Who had a lot of character development, but I do think you need these to show just how crazy wars really are in the show and what it actually means, because it has to build up to something like this, and mm-hmm. it's like, oh, that's what this is going to be. This is what a war is like, as opposed to just talking about an off scene. It's good to see it.
Yeah.
We all need to learn these war tactics because winter is coming.
Yeah.
Winter. Yeah. Speaking of which, they had a few blunders in their war tactics.
Oh.
The barrels falling over, and then, you know, they had the, what was it, the, they lit a barrel right before it was going to fall off the wall, and then it exploded. And I was like, damn it, this is just too clumsy. We need to be better defending this wall.
But, but it shows that they're not trained. They're not.
That's true.
They're not the perfect soldiers. They're yeah. just a ragtag band of guys who can kind of fight. They've got a little bit of training.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as Grin accidentally pushes off the barrel on that note.
I know.
Yeah.
But before we move to the actual war, we should mention that Maria Menounos, our producer, has actually released a new book on diet and fitness, The Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness. So for everyone who wants to be better at fighting wars and be in shape for that type of thing.
Oh, segue.
This is what you gotta do. So check it out. Lots of great workout tips, lots of great tips on different foods that you can cook and eat and how to cook them and recipes. So lots of ways to get into shape to fight off some wildlings and fens. Unless you're, I don't know which side you're actually on. It was funny because when I was watching this is kind of skipping ahead a bit, but when we were watching the battle between Tormund Giantsbane and Alistair Thorne, I was very split because I'm like, well, I like Tormund Giantsbane, but I want the wall to win. So it's kind of like it's a hard battle to decide who you want to win. Mm-hmm. And I guess this is skipping ahead a little bit, but what did you guys think during that actual moment?
I don't really like Tormund Giantsbane.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Maybe you guys Tormund. Obviously do because of the books, but like, what moments? Can you tell me why I should? Can you refresh me? Like,
that's
the audience members who haven't read the books and don't have this history of him. Why should I like
for
him
me,
from the show?
I've always kind of liked him since they introduced him to the show, and I read the books after, so I've liked him pretty much just as a TV watcher. Do you remember when he pretended to be Mance in a way when he first met Jon?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's always kind of had that smart aleckness, but he also always seems kind of like the big brother you don't want to mess with.
Yeah.
And that was always my viewpoint of him, where I felt like if he was on the side of the wall, I would love him. I would be like, yes, we have like such a great warrior, and he's such a smart
such a
Alec.
Beast. Yeah.
So I agree that that battle, like, I wouldn't have been too sad
if Alistair had taken it, which he sort of did. But
yeah, do we know?
I don't think we found
Alistair?
Out.
He got carried into some room
some
with
chambers.
Stacks.
Yeah.
And they say he's fallen, but we don't really see him.
So do you think
he'd fall in and he had to get up?
They're definitely not going to kill him because he was like still talking and it was just like he had like gotten stabbed.
Yeah.
But they should
defend the wall.
They would have made that way more epic or a better death scene, I think, if he's really gone.
So yeah, he's a big enough character. I feel like they would do that. Yeah.
So Lord Bond on the chat screaming out, "What? Torment is the best." But I know Lord Bond's also a book reader. So I think that might be a good point that you have there, because from a book reader perspective, they really give you a lot of John bonding with Tormund. Tormund really does act as that big brother for John, just as Sarah was saying. That's kind of the relationship there. So he's like the guy who kind of watches over John and really cares about him and things like that you get throughout it. So I guess that's why as a book reader you're like, oh, but I like Tormund, but I want the wall, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'll rewind it a little bit, though, because I kind of skipped ahead a lot there, where we've got the actual battle starting now as they notch, draw, and shoot the arrows and fire arrows shooting down and all havoc laying loose. That doesn't make sense.
They use the word loose, actually. It does work.
But just
to some extent.
But chaos as the south wall, the Fens and Wildlings really quickly climbing over the side.
Wait, their camp was like 2 feet from the castle.
Yeah.
What was up with that?
This might be a little nitpick, but I think the people on the south side of the wall would have saw their little campfire or something.
They were like in a valley.
They were in a valley, and then they put it out, and it was this big puff of smoke.
Yeah. And Gilly just ran across the ridge.
Yeah,
like,
she was just like, Gilly's like, hi.
Thankfully, her baby is the quietest thing ever.
I know.
Thankfully, it's a prop.
Even in the show, it was a prop. It's a prop in the actual event.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fake baby, just so people like
don't hurt her. It's a defense. Yeah, you know, it's a way of protecting herself.
That's what war tactics right there.
I got a fake baby, guys. Don't touch
that. Do this. Egret's like, okay.
Yeah, no.
But as right at the start of the battle, things go awry south of the wall because it's such an easy area to climb over. Mm-hmm. And Alistair is pulled away pretty much immediately and gives the charge to Sir Janice Slint.
Yes.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah, and you would think he'd be able to do something because he commanded the Gold Cloaks, I believe, at King's Landing.
Because he did such a good job when he was doing that.
He was good at killing...
Well, did he? Do you remember what he did?
He killed babies.
He did nothing.
Well, he took orders.
He was really...
He did the orders like he was told to do.
He was really good at killing babies.
Yeah.
They're hard. They're not defenseless or anything. Yeah.
And I don't... How long was he even in that position?
Super short, it seemed like.
I feel like that happened.
Next shot was just him, I'm going to go now. Like, he just bounced. He completely panicked, was in denial of the whole thing.
I felt like the gibberish was about to start happening. And he was talking, he's like talking to himself. I was expecting just the,
he's going insane. Like, he's off the rock.
I mean, the wall feels like the safer place to be, though. I'll stick to the top of the wall, because that's further away from everything else.
He was called down, though.
Yeah, he was called down, and then he's still so panicky that he doesn't leave the leadership to anyone. He's just like, okay, and this one runs away.
That's when John was like, okay, arrows.
That's when John was like, I'm gonna do this because I'm a good warrior and leader. So
if he really, this is my question, if he really wanted to hide, why wouldn't he just like run over the wall, though, like not stay
wait off the wall?
No, like just suicide. They're on like one section of the wall, over the gate, but it's a very big wall. Like, couldn't you just like run away, like down it towards like Eastwatch?
We didn't have money to show that part, so no.
Okay,
we have Gilly's established hideout.
Well, I think like because they built the ditches, you saw that it wasn't just a flat wall on top, so I think that only extends so far, and then they've stopped digging those trenches in the top of the wall once it gets to the abandoned castles.
Thank you.
So you could probably only get so far.
I feel
far.
Like my plot hole has just been filled.
There you go. I'm trying. But Janos wasn't actually called down. That was just a plot from who said it?
I'm not sure. I just thought someone said Alistair wants you.
Yeah, but I think that was one of the brothers saw that he was going crazy just made it up.
Okay.
Oh,
was that
would make more sense.
That's what I thought. That's what I saw it as. They saw Jon Snow was yelling at him. He's like, "What are you crazy? There are no giants. What are you?"
And one
of the brothers was just like, "Hey, Alistair's throwing coaches down. Get out of here." That's what I saw.
Smart guy.
I mean, both areas
I thought it was very clever.
Mm-hmm. I mean, both areas need more men, so I wouldn't have been surprised if they're like, well, he's a knight, so he can use his sword, so we need him. So that's why it didn't take me off guard.
Yeah.
But it could very much be that case. So he ends up running and finding the hiding spot Gilly's in. So we'll yeah. see how that, if that, I don't know if people will ever trust the wildling if she says that to anyone, but we'll see how that ends up playing out.
Mm. Mm.
That if she mentions that.
Sam always also sees that.
Yeah,
there.
At the end, yeah.
Yeah, I had this really scary moment where Janice Slint was going to go, ah, wildling, and attack her. But luckily that didn't happen.
Yeah. No.
He's gone.
Couldn't act
he saw
anymore.
The baby. He was in the like
saw the baby. Yeah. The fake baby.
Yeah, the fake baby, exactly. So we have some really cool tactics that we're starting to see from the wall. So they have oil pulled up so they can light and little buckets so they can light their arrows on fire and shoot that over the wall. And then they have a system where they can hoist themselves 90 degrees over the side of the wall and shoot people from 90 degrees, which I wouldn't want to be the man doing that.
No, as we find out later.
Yeah.
But it
that massive
awesome.
Spear that the giants sent over.
Right.
We're like, that's an arrow. No, that's a spear. That's going to hit. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not going to.
Yeah.
Oh, that's part of the whole episode.
That was the greatest moment.
The giant. Yeah, because the one wildling was like, beep.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I can do this. That was amazing.
It was the best moment.
Yeah. And things like this are fun, too, for book readers like Kyle and I, because a lot of the tactics that are used here are different than in the books. And they took away some of the tactics they use, and then they added some new ones. So, like, I don't recall that a giant with arrows. I just remember them ramming the bottom. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
No, yeah, I believe it was just ramming. I don't know.
Right.
It was a mix. I think they used some of it. They didn't use some of it. They had arrows. They had flaming arrows. They dropped the barrels full. I believe the first barrel they dropped was frozen rocks.
Yeah, so that was one of the tactics that they'd figured out in the book. Was that first barrel you saw was that they filled it with rocks and then put water in it. Since it's so cold, it would freeze, and that would be one hell of a thing to have dropped on you. So that's what those barrels were filled up. But yeah, I mean, like, some tactics from the books weren't in it, some were, and then some things were completely new in the show. So it's cool surprises, like the scythe thing.
That was a surprise.
The big anchor that
yes.
just went.
I was yeah. in love
Bye.
With that thing.
That was cool.
I was like, what's the site? So much fun. Keep doing it. Like, that's great.
Yeah.
But at first I was like, they're breaking their wall. They're breaking their own wall. And then it was like, oh,
clever.
Yeah.
They're just
yeah.
shaving a little bit.
Yeah. That's one of those things that you really have to prepare for. Like, I wonder when they, you know, you got to put that up days in advance. At least.
Yeah. Well, it seemed like they were timing it, too, to see, like, okay, this is how far the anchor reaches, and so that'll swipe them all off.
Mm.
Yeah, because it was frozen cool. underneath, too. It was under yeah. ice when it came out, so.
Yeah.
It's really neat as a book reader to watch these battles, because Battle of Blackwater, they changed quite, and they did different tactics.
Yeah.
And this one, they did different tactics. And it's kind of ironic that book readers will know we missed the chain in the Battle of the Blackwater.
Yeah, I really missed that one.
And then we got a chain in this battle.
Oh!
Which was kind of a fun chain.
Just, you know, they're getting inspiration.
Yeah.
Just rearranging a little bit.
Just putting it in different places.
A slightly different style chain.
Yes.
This one had a scythe at the edge of it.
Mm.
But yeah. but you know, it's fun to watch the battles. And it's also fun to have surprises as a book reader and be like, oh, that's new. That's cool. That's different. So that's fun to get. But we get the other side of the wall, the south side, where we got the Thenn using the giant mace, smashing people over left and right. And the Thenn is just wielding giant weapons. And you see why they're so good at battle.
They're massive.
Yeah,
was
really
it Stir?
Like,
yeah, it was huge.
Stature-wise, I was like, giant's blood? Like, they're as big as, like, Hodor.
Yeah.
And what about like, his twin?
Hodor.
That, like,
Hodor. Maybe
Sam.
Hodor's a Thenn. Like, that's where he comes from.
Maybe.
Remember the first Thenn that we saw that Sam took care of?
Yeah.
Last moment?
But actually,
yeah.
just before that moment, what led to that was him with Pip, who finally gets one with his crossbow,
yeah.
and Pip doesn't survive. He's a vagrant!
I knew he was going to die the moment he was like, I just got a guy in the throat, and he was like celebrating his like one kill, and I was like, oh.
That's what happens in Game of Thrones. You celebrate,
yeah.
you die.
I have another
plot
for you.
Pride.
Nothing. Too much pride.
Yeah.
It's over and all over again.
Yeah. Why didn't Ygritte continue to kill Sam if that was in her eyeline?
I think he ended up hiding right when that happened. I think he was ducked down right
yeah,
after
Yeah, she couldn't see him, and that's why I was worried. I was like, is she, like, waiting for him to, like, does she know that he's there?
Right?
I figured she was waiting.
I'm like, don't get up, Sam. Like, just, if anything.
She's waiting for you.
Waiting
well, if you want me to fill the plot holes again, he was actually standing up getting ready to take a shot when he got hit. And Sam was hiding down
right.
behind
gotcha.
The wall.
Because I saw an eager eyeline, and I was like, it was from, like, Sam's perspective, almost, and I was like, what's going to happen now?
Yeah, he's
and
like,
then I was
ooh.
Like, oh, nothing. I was like, oh. Questions.
So get down Doe on the chat saying nice callback on the chain to you, Kyle. Yeah, by the way, thanks. Just want to throw that out.
Thanks, man.
So yeah, immediately after this, we get Sam, he's got attacked. He's got an idea, so he runs off. He shoots the Then in the neck with a crossbow.
Just right in the nick of time.
Uh-huh.
Perfect. That made me nervous, that Sam.
Did you see it in the neck? I thought he got him right in the head.
Oh, maybe it was right in the head.
It was in the head.
Could be right. Yeah, it was in the head.
It was somewhere.
Regardless, it was the facial region. Somewhere around there.
A lot of head smashing and stuff in this episode.
Yeah, those bald
heads did not survive.
Targets.
They did not do well.
And we see
Sam always surprises me, though.
This like, whole episode. Like, who, where's this Sam? He's been gone this whole time.
The power of love.
Yeah. When the Then was starting to run, Sam didn't even have his arrow in the weapon yet.
Unprepared. The most unprepared ever.
He was just carrying them together. And he was, like, stopped and was slowly getting it in. It was, like, seriously inches away when he shot
I feel
guy.
Like he grabbed it from somewhere, though. Was it his?
He had it with him the whole time? I think it was Pip's crossbow.
Yeah, and he was, like, carrying an arrow and the crossbow, but
I'm not going to need this. Oh, wait, I do.
He so calmly did it, too.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's that survival instinct again. Yeah. Yeah. He brought it.
And then he goes to Ollie, and we see Ollie back, who is the child who was the messenger when the Then's attacked and ate his parents.
Mm.
He's back! So
wait. Oh,
call back
wow.
to the orphan.
Yeah, call back
was
to the orphan.
Was he also the one that... Who was the child?
That was him.
So, gotcha. Just wanted to verify.
Yeah, that was him. So, yeah, so he leads Sam up, and Sam's idea is to go get John to help out, so...
But Sam also tells Ollie to find a weapon.
Yeah. Foreshadow.
Insert.
Nice bow just lying right next to him.
So while this is going on the other side of the wall, the big wall, they're dropping down explosive barrels now to fight off the giants who are using their mammoth to open the gate. And right after that happens, they're still trying to get underneath. So Gren gets sent off to defend underneath. What a great position to take.
I know.
Oof. Yeah.
Defend the gate. But the mammoth doesn't like fire like our friend the hound doesn't like fire and runs away.
Steps on a guy as he's running off. It didn't look like that gate was coming down. I don't know. They were talking about how they were going to pull it down. They didn't look like they were making any headway with that gate, getting that thing down.
I felt like they were.
Yeah?
Yeah. I was like, that gate's not going to survive. It's just the way that they... Well, maybe just my perception, I guess.
Yeah.
Wishful thinking.
You have to believe that. I mean, to consider them a threat at all.
Yeah.
So, but I was like, that thing's not moving. What's going on?
You had faith. You had faith in the Night's Watch.
Yeah,
and
I did.
Builders.
Builders. I had faith in that 4 inches of cold rolled steel.
Let's say that line one more time.
That's a tongue twister.
That was
jeez.
Well said, though.
Wow, thank you. Wow.
Well done.
Thanks. I quit. I'm out.
Mic drop.
One line.
End on a high note.
That's all that takes. Yeah. But yeah, so then one giant's able to power it up himself.
He was mad. I think he hulked out.
Weightlifter.
He's like, I'm angry.
Yeah.
It's like when a mom, it's like though you hear about like a mother having a child trapped under a car, and then all of a sudden she'll have 10 times the strength and be able to lift up a car.
Mm-hmm.
You hear about that because you get that adrenaline rush. And
the mountain.
Yeah, or the mountain. Yeah. Forcing someone's head to explode.
When he's like, he died, right?
We don't know.
We don't know.
Come on.
It was his last breath.
Okay.
That's what I want to believe.
You know, I'm with you. Wanting to believe these two don't seem as thrilled about it.
All right.
So we have Sinfire in the chat saying, I tweeted the actor that played Pip and said, at least you got one, and he favorited it.
Aww.
So, that's Oh, I don't know. That's funny. Fun that he favorited it, at least. I mean, it's kind of like, oh, that's his career. So
this is just the start.
Hopefully. I like Pip.
For most Game of Thrones people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah. They're getting a lot of things now.
Pedro, what's his name? Pascal?
Oh, yeah.
The guy who played Oberyn. Beautiful. He's getting an Emmy.
He was my favorite.
My hope for him is he's getting an Emmy.
Yeah,
he deserves it.
There we go.
Let's go.
He was great.
He can start a campaign.
There we go.
There we go.
Starting a campaign for Pedro.
Supporting actor. He doesn't have to fight Cranston in that part.
Okay. That's true.
He's taking it home this year. That's really serious.
Finale of Breaking Bad, yeah.
Yeah.
So Grant's sent down there, and then we get the giant charging in at them. And Gren trying to pull them together. That's not a scary sight to see.
But that was so amazing to see.
Yeah.
it's hard to see, but it was cool. You know, they were like, you know, holding out, even if they knew it was their last breath, if they were going to die.
Mm.
Absolutely.
And I wish we could have seen that fight.
And, like, scary shit. Yeah, yeah. I know. Ugh. Why? Why didn't they show us?
Yeah, I want to see it, too. Oh, well.
So sad.
Darn.
Maybe some other time. The battle's not over. It's behind some
the
other
scenes.
Time.
Game of Thrones DVD.
Flashback. Yeah.
I kind of just imagine all the Night's Watch were holding their sword, and the giant kind of just fell on the swords, right? And also weird. On all of them.
I don't
want to
believe
them.
That at all.
Yeah, that's what you saw, right?
That's
what I saw.
He was just, like, running, and they were like,
he tried, like, WWF jump onto them just to try and body slam them.
The worst. I don't want to believe
tag
that at
team.
All.
So no. Up at the top of the wall, we've got Ed taking over. So that is the character who takes over the wall and uses the scythe and utilizes that as John gives an order, like, use explosive barrels if they get close and use the scythe if they climb up high enough on the wall. So kind of taking John's suggestions there, but you'd think he would just know that because if they prepped a scythe.
Well. Is Ed new? Because I don't remember seeing Ed before.
Oh, no, he's not new. He's been around.
Yeah. He's been in the contingent of interchangeable John companions for every season.
I have not remembered.
He's sometimes a little bit more pessimistic. That's my general
vibe.
That's
his character in the book. He's very, he's pessimistic. He's always got kind of a downer joke ready to go
at any
point.
He's like the one who is like, I feel like he was in the scene who was like, we're always shoveling shit.
Yep.
Suddenly I'm remembering.
That's what I'm thinking of, at least. Like, that's how I group him.
He's like the Debbie Downer of the Night's Watch.
Hands down.
Yeah.
So to pull it back to Tormund and Maester... Alistair. Maester Aemon, Alistair. I'm sorry, I'm going to get so much crap for that one.
Maester Aemon was sword fighting Tormund
really
Giants Bane.
Sword fighter, all right. Alistair Thorne. So we get that battle going on, and this is actually what prompts Sam to go up. But we get that battle where Tormund's just going at it. Tormund's wild.
Living up to his name.
Living up to his name, Giants Bane.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, we get that great long shot of Tormund going crazy, knocking people over for one long sweep of the southern side of the wall.
Well, it wasn't all Tormund. He wasn't running around.
Well, no, but he
castle,
was running out for the first part of it. Though.
It was
a
mix up of the Thane.
And then him. Him, like, leaping in the air and smashing someone from the air.
That shot was amazing. And the set that they built to do that 360 fight.
Yeah. And choreographed the whole thing, imagine.
It was unbelievable.
To get it in one take.
I know we said earlier that it wasn't epic and we're saving the epicness for the last episode, but this shot was pretty epic.
Yeah.
This was pretty
absolutely.
Amazing.
Get down, Doe, saying too much CGI money for the giant fight, maybe, and it went into this shot, apparently. Yeah, this was a crazy shot.
And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it. That was the exchange.
Yeah.
I can have it.
There we go.
Yeah, one really good
choice,
shot
producers.
There. So we get John making it over to the side, and John ends up facing the Big Fen. He ends up going against him. They start fighting off, the one that we've been seeing.
Absolutely. Can I say that Kit Harington's sword fighting has improved so much since Pompeii came out? The rumor is that he did a lot of sword training for the movie, and it is certainly shows in Game of Thrones.
Wow. Yeah.
Because in the first couple seasons you watched it, and it was kind of a little stiff, but he looked fluid, and he looked really good in this one.
One of my favorite moments of this entire episode was when he jumps kind of out of the lift and goes straight into fighting. And it's before he gets to the pen, but he's just, like, knocking people down, making his own way through this crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked beautiful. It looked skilled, it was shot well, and I was on his team. But on top of that, it also made me believe that he could be an adversary of the Thane after we saw them doing all this damage.
Because
if it was just John, like kind of killing one person, like, you had to build them both up to make it an epic battle.
You had to add an equal amount of Thane action. And then killing all the people in that one shot. And then,
now you can kill each other.
Now it's good.
Yes, I have started smashing people with maces before. Yeah, I think that was Thor with a giant mace.
That mace.
Yeah, so they end up going at it, and Grit sees them as they're going at it, and now has to make this decision. Is she going to shoot John or not?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And also some, like, gosh, just, like, men, like, grimaced in pain as Stur smashed John's head into an anvil. Ooh, that one's gonna ring.
Yeah. I think the Thane throwing John through that fire, and in doing so kind of behind a wall and out of Ygritte's line of sight, probably saved his life for 2 seconds. do you think she actually would have killed him?
No, I don't think so.
No, she had decided, I
we
think,
believe in
not
love.
To, yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Do you think she would have killed the Thane? My apologies.
Oh.
Yes, if it came down to it, yes. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, she had a moment of hesitation. She was looking at John, and, like, how long did it take her to decide that she wasn't going to kill John?
Hmm.
Right? So imagine how much Seasons. More thinking she'd have to do in order to kill then.
Yeah.
I don't think she would have felt that bad about it. Like, yeah. This is the guy who was like,
she was giving him shit.
You.
Yeah.
And like, she warned
she never Fenn. Really liked the Fenn. She told him she would kill everyone.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. She did say, no one takes John except for me.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
And I was right. glad that it was John, though, that did kill him and finish him off. Because I was scared that they were going to kind of reclaim that and she was going to kill him. Yeah. And I was going to be like, no, he can stand up for himself.
Well, I mean, I didn't. I agree with you, Naomi. I actually didn't see her thinking, I'm going to shoot the Fenn. I just saw her debating if she's going to kill John or not. That's all I got out of that moment.
Okay.
So, regardless, John wins.
Yeah.
Yay!
But does he win really?
Yeah.
Oh
well.
Not yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
No, the girl's still alive at the moment. She's still alive. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's still alive. She's still making that choice.
He's feeling victory.
It's like John smiles to her, even though she's holding an arrow up to him. He's just happy to see her.
Oh, wasn't that a talk about love, right?
Yeah. It's a love-hate relief.
Like, he knows he's going to die. He just wants to have that moment of, like, I love you.
Yeah, it's just like, it doesn't matter as long as he gets to see her in the smiles moment.
Like, I felt like they definitely shared that moment of love, though. In both their eyes, we got that.
Well, she was more resistant to it. She always fights it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she did,
Well, John was fighting a lot
first. I think you had the silver lining of this, though. Like, it's aw, it's sad, but I think that in losing his love, it kind of's gonna make it made him stronger and gave him the ability to go beyond the wall.
Yeah.
Because if she had lived and they're both like chilling and he wouldn't have left.
No,
well, it's because he has nothing to lose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
you need that. So as much as it's sad, I'm like, kind of had to happen.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And everyone who suffers in Game of Thrones ends up, you know, with some sort of success.
Yeah.
It hardens you.
It does harden you.
So Ollie pulling it through in a way, not for his audience.
He was just playing Cupid.
He's doing what he needed. Yeah. Love, arrow of love there.
Arrow of love.
Yep.
And they set this up when the episode where he reached the wall. He wanted to fight with the men and train and everything. And there's a line where he says, "I'm the best archer in my hamlet."
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He says that. And I know as a book reader in the book reader community, we're all like, he's going to kill a grit.
Really? I was like, he's going to save the day at the wall. I was like, he's going to be the one they like all need.
Yeah. They raise him up.
Yeah. I was like, he's going to be the hero. Like,
Ollie,
and then I was
Ollie.
Not anymore.
They could have done that.
He did save the... Well, I guess you guys don't think he saved Jon Snow, because Jon Snow wasn't really in danger. But
we don't know, because Ygritte could have shot him, so...
Yeah. She shot him before.
Yeah, she did shoot him once.
6 inches from the heart.
He was just doing what he was told by Sam.
Yeah, this is all Sam's fault.
It's all Sam's fault.
I'll tell you what.
Wait till he finds
you.
Out. It's not going to go good.
Let me tell you all what love gets you. An arrow 6 inches next to your heart. That's what love gets you.
Dave, that was like
damn it
experience.
That's John's story from before.
It's full circle now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, we also get Sam unleashing ghosts. We get to see some ghost action as well.
Oh, that was awesome, because I was like, wait, what did I miss, Kyle? I was like, because he said, I need him more than I need you. And I'm like, wait, who does John need more than he needs Sam? And he gave him a key, and where is he going?
Yeah. You're like, what? And I already knew it was going to happen. I'm like, just watch. Shut up. I wish Ghost was killing more people in the background. He kind of just goes after one guy and then we don't see him again.
Yeah.
I wanted him just like a white blur in the background, like, just taking out people left and right.
And like at least make it someone really important that Ghost tackled, right? And took down. It was just like we saw him take down someone and then we saw him like feeding off the man.
Yeah. He was hungry.
Makes sense.
Oh, so we got in the chat Lord Bond saying poetic justice. Ygritte killed Ollie's dad and then Ollie killed Ygritte. So that's a great point.
Yeah.
Ollie.
Guys, really?
You started it. It's now a thing. You gave that to us. Thank you.
Oh man. Damn it.
Ollie's gonna take over. He's gonna be the one in charge of the wall.
Yeah. Someday.
Sam. Let's give Sam the wall.
Oh,
Sam's
he deserves it now.
Pulling it through
Lord
here.
Commander
He's won me
Sam.
Over.
He has the sword.
So
he does have the sword.
Oh, that meant a lot.
That's enough. Mm-hmm. That's enough to own the wall.
That's true. He does. Yeah, he does have the sword.
He's gonna walk in there. I have the sword now. Follow me.
It's like the One Ring. I have the one sword to rule them all.
Sam,
and
come
I
on.
Have this book in my other hand.
Then he drops an F bomb, and they all follow.
And they all follow.
Knowledge and power, all in one. So, can't
and the
even
lady
that.
With the baby wrote it now.
But after the scythe drop, after Styr's death and Igris' death, we see the battle finally ending as Mass apparently starts retreating for the day, and Tormund's still going at it all alone.
The sole survivor.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? He's the only wildling left.
Two arrows in his back, and they couldn't
only
get
one
him
left
down.
In, yeah.
In
the
first pack.
Besides, you know, the other.
Well, besides the 100,000 north, but.
I mean, we took a few of those out, right?
No, it looks grim for them. It looks pretty grim.
Yeah.
But Tormund angry at Jon as Jon just gets him cuffed. Won't let him fight off and finish it like a man.
Mm. They're going to chain him up and question him later.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they said.
Yeah.
So,
question him about what?
Where is Mance?
How do we
where
defeat these 100,000 people?
But they know all of this. These wildlings.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, right? What are they? I guess
they're gonna use them
know.
Like they used ghosts. They're gonna unleash them at some point.
Unleash them. unleash the giant's bane.
They're gonna be like the tickler. Where's your gold? Where's the village? Where do you hide all your money?
It's gonna be like, where are the wildling troops? Well, they're right there.
Yeah, they're all right there.
Oh man,
Mance Raider.
Nice.
I think you know everything.
Yeah.
Oh well. So that is the end of the battle. So then we get the aftermath as Sam's calling it a great victory and John bringing the realism there. This is just one night.
Yeah.
Not a great victory. Although they have, really, though, they battle off at least what we know of from the South Wall, which was the big, in my mind, that's the most vulnerable area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there might be other troops coming, but at the moment, we don't know about them.
Yeah, they would certainly be able to put up a much better fight against the Northern Front without the people attacking from the South.
Right.
But
still 100,000 troops.
Yeah, it's
a lot of people.
We need some support.
Mm.
Yeah.
We need some support. Please and thank you.
I was going to say, so with that, John makes the decision that he's got to go find Mance, and that's the only way, because Mance is the only one holding everyone together.
Mm-hmm. I actually agree with this bad plan, and I totally see it all working out now. Yeah. Because he's been beyond the wall before. He knows his way around. People recognize his face. Come on.
But not for good reasons.
Yeah, I know, but I just feel like now it all makes sense. I just see him, like, leading the... you know, the 100 united groups of wildlings. Like, I just see him being their leader and, like, taking out Mance.
I have mixed feelings because as much as I'm on the side of the wall, I also feel like I feel bad for the wildlings because they have a reason to march on the wall. And now that, like, the Fens seem like they're mostly gone and they're the ones I really don't like, I'm like, oh, well, we can let a few wildlings in. Like, if they're the nice ones and...
Well, like,
yeah, you got the
said,
whites all there, so you're like, they're trying to get away from the whites.
Yeah. Like, I feel bad for you.
Well, like John said, you take out their leader, then what are they fighting for? So if he is their leader, then they would have someone in charge, you know, who could lead them in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. And teach them how to act civilized.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just houses. And use them for good, for, you know, the White Walkers. But I really like what John said to Sam. You're right, it's a bad plan. What's your plan? Because you've got those leaders who never make a decision.
Yeah.
And it's better to make a bad decision than no decision at all.
Yeah.
And you also have the leaders that never listen to anyone and commit to their one way of seeing things, like Sir Alistair.
And
then,
yeah.
And it was like kind of that change. It was a different... way of leading. He might not have actually had a plan, but he was willing to take some sort of advice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with Chris, though. Like, indecisiveness is never going to win in the end. You have to make a decision, regardless of what it is. And honestly, indecisiveness is a decision, just not a good decision. So
he
makes that decision, and they go under, and now we get to see the dead giant, and Garen is also dead.
Yeah.
So also, I want to throw out for, like, book readers. This is a big surprise for book readers. Garen and Pip did not die in this battle in the books.
No.
So this
what?
Is
no.
So yeah, this was a huge surprise. Both of them. And this is like they're Sam and John's best friends.
I know.
Yeah.
I was like, what is going on?
I was not seeing both of them. I was like, ah, well, I guess they killed off Pip, and he didn't die in the book, so, you know, Gren's going to survive, and of them.
Well, yeah. So they do die in the books, though.
They can't tell us that because the audience will, like, write the thing for spoiling.
Okay. All right.
But, yeah. That's all I have to say. This battle did not happen in this battle. It's okay.
It's a one-armed blacksmith named Donald Noy, who is not in the show, who goes in by himself and fights. I don't know if he's by himself, but he's, like, the major dude who goes in and takes out this giant.
Maybe he'll, like, arrive and do their parts now. Because I feel like what happens with the books is they end up taking the parts who were that specific character's parts in the books, and they give them to one of the main characters to do. So it's like, whatever they did in the future, I'm sure another character is going to fulfill that destiny.
It was sad. It was sad to see him go.
Very sad. I was like, but Pip, but Gren.
But we needed to kill somebody.
The ox. Oh, man. Gren is awesome. So, yeah, and another thing, so speaking of the blacksmith, we get to actually see the shelf, it would seem, fighting where he's tied his butcher knife to his spear, it looked like.
I don't know what that was.
That
butcher
thing.
Knife pole.
I want to see more of that guy. That was amazing. Yeah.
Talk about manslaughter.
Wow. Yeah, that was great.
The puns are bad.
They love my puns.
So,
I love your puns.
Who was that guy?
I'm very punny.
Does anyone know who that guy was? I'm talking to you.
That was Mantra. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know. Major picks on the chest saying that he thinks that Gren was awesome until the end. So, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, he went out, you know, protecting the gate or protecting the tunnel
doing
or whatever.
His duty.
Doing his duty, and he did good.
Yeah.
They protected it.
They did
kept
it.
His vow till the end, and they repeated it, and I liked that.
So yeah. You get six.
He held the gate.
Yes.
So that's what he said, and then I was like, I'm going to write that down. Oh my God, he just said it. And then it just fell into place, yeah.
We must protect this gate!
Yeah.
Hold
so
the line.
We also get that a giant apparently is equal to, if you're doing equations here, one giant equals six men. That's equals out right there.
The more you know.
Sam should keep that in mind for when rallying the troops for the next battle.
All right, there's one giant. We need six men for this one at least.
At least.
Well, all six are going to die, so maybe seven.
Seven. Maybe only one will survive, though, if you do seven. Maybe that's...
Yeah.
Maybe.
Perfect equation.
One guy to come back and say, we killed him.
I got him the rest of the time, but I survived.
I survived.
It would be Janice Lynn. It would be Janice Lynn. He watched from the sidelines. And he's like, I got it.
I survived.
So we end the episode with John leaving the tree. Well, to talk with Mass or do kill him or get him out of there.
Can he just go up to him and talk to him, you think?
To treat, maybe. Yeah. He's just trying to go talk to Mass.
Yeah,
I feel like he needs to grab some other people just to... make sure he can.
Or at least Ghost. I was like, where's Ghost?
Ghost,
Well, the thing is, I think he has to appear as unthreatening as possible.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If he goes with himself, if he just goes by himself, or he goes with 10 men, or if he goes with the 80 guys who survived the fight, they're going to get destroyed as soon as they come into view. But if it's just one guy, he has no sword on him, he doesn't have a dire wolf, it's much more likely that he'll even be able to enter the camp.
Exactly. It's like... who wants to kill the unarmed guy? Like, you want to be a hero. You want to have a fight.
Especially the wildlings and how they seem to be. We have Sinfire in the chest saying, when I die, I hope it's death by giant.
That's amazing.
I'll go with old age, but you can have your giant at 40 plus. You can take that one. So, I prefer Tyrion's method.
Oh,
well. If you remember that. I like to die by cock in a woman's mouth.
Oh! That's gay.
There we go.
See, I wasn't going to just say it, but you guys pulled it out.
I should have known.
You know what? I take that over a giant death, all right? So, what did you guys think of this episode overall? Because this was very reminiscent of two seasons ago with the Battle of Blackwater. Mm-hmm. It was very much the same thing, but now with... a different location. It was just that one battle episode. Do you guys like when they do this, or do you think like, it's all right? What were your thoughts on this episode overall?
I like that it brought Sam back into the picture. It really grew his character, and it served a purpose, you know. And then of course, well, we see how well that wall holds up.
Yeah,
it does pretty good. Okay, you know, it's okay.
All right.
I feel like this is the only way they could have had this kind of episode, because you can't really interrupt this kind of battle and, like, go to King's Landing and then come back.
Yeah.
Like, that would totally disrupt, like, the feng shui of you being in it and actually feeling the action.
See, I agree, but almost, I wish I had known they were going to do that with this episode. I, like, wish that I knew that I was just going to sit down and, like, focus on this one battle, because, like, I always expect them to change storylines, so I'm like, don't get too invested, don't get too invested, they're going to take it away, like, you have to wait for it to come back, and then the action's going to happen, because that happens so much, they build up, and then they pull you out.
Game of Thrones is very notorious for almost bringing you to that cool moment, and then going, oh, we'll go to another scene.
Exactly. And so this whole episode, for the first 15 minutes, I was like, they're going to pull me out, I just have to be prepared for this, and then I was like, oh, it's been 25 minutes.
Oh, 40 minutes.
Oh, wait. I need to just relax.
Okay. 45. Oh, the episode's over. It was.
There you go.
I'm kind of mixed on this, because I do prefer seeing the multiple storylines, mm-hmm. but I do mm-hmm. think that with this war, you needed a full episode mm-hmm. to really get the oomph of what it was really like. So
exactly. Mm-hmm. They have so many swords, and everyone's always wearing armor in this land, so it's about time we see why. You know?
Yeah, because like, usually they're just waiting around, you know? Sort of practicing, and now that they had the battle, I totally agree with you.
Yeah. So we should mention that we do have a special guest with us here, Naomi Kyle.
Yes, hi.
Who is here because of E3. So she's here to cover E3 for IGN, and she has also just recently been in a documentary with Zach Penn about a topic that I'm really interested in. Any of you big nerds out there like me, and if you're watching Game of Thrones, you probably are. Atari, it was there about the E.T. dig site, which is a huge, huge part of gaming culture, is this thing, and it turned out to be true.
Yeah. Yeah, they found the game cartridges intact, and, I mean, they had to dig quite a bit for it, and a lot of research went into it, about, like, 4 years of research is what I understand.
Wow.
And, they found them. Quite the epic day, I have to say, being there.
So some background for people who don't know this story. There's a big, wild rumor that's been going around in the gaming world ever since. It's like a 20, 30-year-old rumor.
1984.
It is like 30 years. Yeah, 1984. E3 came out to Atari. E3 is this week. E.T. came out to Atari, and it was basically what is considered to be the cause of the video game crash. And Atari supposedly buried all the games in a giant landfill in New Mexico, and it's just the biggest rumor ever, and you were there. So what was that like?
Well, there was a lot of dust and sand and smelly things, because it was a landfill in the desert, and but it was cool. I mean, they had the creator of the game there, and one of the coolest moments I remember when they finally, like, came out, and they started the dig. It was, like, 9 in the morning. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they came up on the microphone, I guess, Zach Penn and the people who had been the archaeologists that they had hired to dig up the site. And they were like, we have intact video games here. They, like, had the box still rectangular, and, you know, you pulled out, you had a little game cartridge, and they still had the instructions in it. And the game creator was there, and he got interviewed, like, moments after this happened, and started crying, because for him it was, like, a moment of closure. Like, all your life you're told you made the worst video game, and now it's become this whole myth and this whole, like, interesting factor in the gaming industry. And, yeah, just being a part of that was really cool. I actually have a vlog about it on my YouTube channel if you guys want to see it. It's youtube.com/NaomiKyle with footage of the whole thing, and it was just cool. Kids were there, you know, adults and people who had, like, been fascinated with the story their whole lives.
I love when myths come true.
And then it was just the fact that it was actually real. It was, like, validation for all those years of wondering what happened.
It really is the biggest urban legend in gaming, and it has been. So that's really crazy to me, because I grew up with this story, and my question is, can I have a copy? So I want a copy. So, like, I want history.
Yeah, I mean, everyone was, of course, asking me that. Did you get to keep anything? And I think it all went to the city afterwards. I heard a story about it going to some museum or something.
Yeah.
Going to, someone else has the rights over it, unfortunately, because once in a landfill, it becomes part of, well, not everyone else's property. Yeah. Pretty much.
Oh, yeah. There's probably a lot of things that we're covering that I don't want to touch. But yeah. You mentioned your YouTube channel. And I've heard you've been focusing a lot on it. So what have you been doing for your YouTube channel?
So recently I've revamped it. It's been around since I started working for IGN pretty much. And it had a good base because people, I guess, when I would leave comments on IGN videos, people would see that I had a YouTube account. And so they'd go to it, but there would be nothing there. And I finally was like, I'm going to set myself a schedule. I'm going to make sure to stay at this. I've been to multiple VidCons and been inspired like the day of and then go back home and never end up, you know, vlogging or doing anything with my channel. So I finally decided I'm going to concept a few show ideas, start building it slowly. So I've been mostly doing a lot of vlogs. Ask Naomi is this thing that I was doing on Twitter for a long time, and it was just like, you know, one word answers, and I'm like, there's something here. Like, people are asking me really in-depth questions, and I only have 140 characters to respond. So I thought, you know, putting it in a video format would be more interesting. People would get to see where I live and, like, just get a sense of my... I mean, it makes a little, you know, it's a bit more personal for the fans, I think. Not to
so
the extent I think
you're... So subscribe to Naomi. Yeah. So where she lives.
Where she lives. You know what I mean. Like, you see, like,
it's
I had
San
my cats
Francisco
on an episode.
What's the exact address?
I understand what you mean.
Yes.
Always
it's
that
just,
personal connection.
Exactly.
It means so much more.
Seeing where Jessica Alba lives. No, I totally don't stalk her. So, I don't know. I think it's just a different way for me to get in touch with the fans, besides the normal social networks.
Do you have any word on what those shows and the works are? Are you kind of holding that and want it to be a surprise?
For the time being, it's vlogs, random vlogs. So the vlogs might be a surprise because they're never there's no real set concept beforehand.
Sure.
You know, until I decide to do one, and then I'm like, oh, this would be good as a vlog. But Ask Naomi's a regular show that people can watch every Tuesday. And I post those, and I actually shoot them on Saturdays, edit them Sundays, and then they go live on Tuesday. But yeah, for the most part, I'm just slowly building it up. It's
great. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. It's a lot of work, though, but I think it's all worth it for people who, you know, just want more personal stuff, because they see me on TV, like, not on TV, but on the internet, and I'm reading a prompter, or, like, I'm talking about something, but never really, they never really get a sense of who I am personality-wise. Like, they don't get a sense of, like, hanging out with Naomi, like, what she's like. So, yeah, just... another side of it.
I think I do YouTube stuff as well, and I think a lot of people don't realize just how long it takes to make these videos.
I know.
It's a long time. So props to you for doing that. That's wonderful.
It's all about setting the schedule.
Yes.
Yeah. For sure.
Absolutely.
Like, sticking to it as much as you can. Like, I shot right before flying. I was like 2 hours, you know, my flight was in 2 hours, and I had to shoot this Ask Naomi video, and I'm like, I just got to do it. I can't, you know, slack, because then that's when it goes down.
And then the editing process. So much fun.
Fun editing those videos.
The editing is the worst. I actually do recaps for Game of Thrones, and
what do you use for your software?
Software?
Like, what's your program that you use?
Oh, I'm just editing? I just iMovie, and I'm like bare bones.
Really?
I have $0. I am a poor man, so.
Comes free on the Mac.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Sony Vegas,
actually. Yeah, I know a lot of big YouTubers use that. Like, Vadi, I do Dark Souls stuff a lot, and Vadi Video does a lot of Sony Vegas stuff. But yeah, so a lot of people really like that one. I use Final Cut because I have a free version of it. So,
oh,
yeah.
Lucky
that. That's the way. Nice. It's just like, all right, I got a free version. I'm going to use it. So another thing I heard, though, is that you're going to be signing things for people at Comic-Con.
Yes. I have my own booth at Comic-Con.
That's
amazing.
We are going to come visit you.
Yay. Yes. Sweet. I don't know how this got set up. I'm very lucky. My manager set it up for me, and I don't know where it's located on the show floor yet, but I will be on Twitter and letting people know. I've dreamed of this. I mean, Comic-Con's amazing, and if you can get a booth there for signing, your own booth, it's just kind of surreal. And
that's fantastic.
It's gonna be fun.
That's gonna be a lot of fun.
What?
I said bucket list.
Yeah, total bucket list. Amazing. Like, just right off the...
You gotta vlog live from the booth.
There you go.
Do it.
No surprise, guys. I'm going to do a vlog about my signing booth.
So dreams do come true unless you live in Westeros.
Oh.
With a crush in your face. So with that Game of Thrones pullback, let's go ahead and talk about predictions for next week.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
predictions for this show?
So this is the part where Kyle and I shut up. This is the part where Kyle and I shut up.
Well, it looks like Bran arrives at the tree finally. And
that just sounded terrible. If anybody that's coming in, this kid arrives at a tree.
No, interesting.
Okay, I want to watch the show.
Watch Game of Thrones. I mean, that's really all we know. We don't exactly know what's going to happen there, what's going to come of that, but it's going to be powerful and it's going to help him help others. That's all we really know.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that he runs into Jon because they're both going to be north of the wall. And hopefully he can help Jon kill Mance, and then we can rule the wildlings and have a chance at killing White Walkers when winter comes.
I love this.
Now it's your
turn. I'm going for this. You've sold me.
What do you ladies
think? I think it would
be
cool. Yeah.
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 Any
The tree still looked like a mirage, though.
Right? Yeah. It's always so, like, whimsical. It's not very, like, I feel like we're going to get to the tree and it's going to be, like, evil-looking.
Yeah, the complete opposite of what we've been seeing.
On a hill, like the sunset. And I'm like, this doesn't seem to fit. Like, we're talking about death and White Walkers and horrible things. I do not believe in this beautiful tree.
Well, it's like the were-tree. They're, like, bleeding out of their eyes. And it's like, is there some mystical trees?
But I can hope for Kristen's eyes.
Yes, we all hope.
Future.
And Rumpelstiltskin will be in the tree, and they'll have to guess his name and stuff.
Wow, this is really,
I'm just
like,
kidding. Yeah,
really mythical.
Well, Rumpelstiltskin is like the children of the forest, right?
That's
I got you.
I think there's going to be some sort of rumble there.
Rumpelstiltskin's evil.
I mean, there's got to be some protector of this tree, right?
Mm. Oh, wait a second.
I got to read into their poker faces.
I'm getting bad feelings. A lot of bad feelings.
All I know is I think that next week's really going to prepare us for the next season and point us in a lot of different directions that we haven't been. So I'm excited.
Mm. All I know that in approximately, you know, a week and an hour from now, I'm going to be really upset because that means that there's no more for a while.
True. That's have to wait like another year almost.
Yeah.
It is too short. Do you have any predictions, Naomi?
Well, Cersei and Jaime get mentioned. I feel like maybe Tywin's going to confront them about that whole thing.
It does look like that.
Yeah.
Did you guys get that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not crazy. Okay.
And do we think that anything's going to happen with Tyrion? Like, is he going to die? Is he going to
Well,
live?
Yeah, that's what's... I mean, that's on everyone's mind. Yeah.
Yeah, because, like you said earlier, it looks like the Mountain probably died in his last breath he killed Oberyn. So
there might still be a chance for him not to, you know,
die.
Get killed.
Yeah.
He can't die. No.
The Mountain can't die?
No, the Mountain can die.
I didn't know you cared.
Not going to care for that guy.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing Arya, too. Like, Arya, love Arya.
Oh, yeah.
Arya, yeah, she's going to be doing some killing. Arya.
Yeah. It's like people are coming, and she's ready with the needle.
Yeah. Do you think she'll run into her sister?
Gosh, that's a really good question.
That might blow my mind if that happens.
I think we all want that. I don't think it's time yet.
World's
but I
colliding.
Think,
I do. Yeah. It's the finale. It could totally happen.
Yeah.
Well, traditionally, the ninth episode has always been the big one. So we'll see what happens with the 10th episode.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping for big things. So, guys, thank you so much for joining us this week. Once again, I'm Dave Klein. You can find me on Twitter at TheDaveKlein. That is KLEIN.
And hi, guys. I'm Sarah Stratton. You can find me here at AfterBuzz TV, also on Anatomy of a Movie.
I'm Kristen Snyder. You can follow me at Cinematic Escape on Twitter. You can check out my blog, Cinematic Escape.
And I'm Kyle Maddock. You can find me at Mad Canard, like the duck,
Canard.
On Twitter. Or I had a podcast of Ice and Fire.
And I'm Naomi Kyle. You guys can find me on Twitter at Naomi Kyle and Facebook, Naomi Kyle Fans, and YouTube, Naomi Kyle. Straight up.
That's really easy. You got all the work.
It's all Naomi Kyle. Just Google search me.
In front of my name. You got set. But guys, thank you so much for joining us this week, and we'll see you next week for the finale. Later, guys.
Bye. Big finale.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.